Well, good morning, each one of you. I can say it's been good to be here so far this morning. I was just thinking during sharing time how amazing it is, the confirmations that you get so often as a church service goes on, just seeing how everything just gets put together so nicely. And Sunday school teachers, the one having devotions, the ones having the message, they often don't communicate. But yet God brings everything together. And I was looking at the title on the bulletin, the cover, it's Under His Wings You Will Find Refuge, Psalms 91:4. Goes right along with what I'm going to be sharing this morning, what God has laid on my heart. And I've titled this, Who is Holding You? I've been thinking a lot about this. I've known for a good while that it was my turn to have the message. And I thought I had it together for, 2 weeks ago. I thought I had everything pretty well laid out and where I was going to go with this. And every time I try to bring it all together, all my thoughts together, it just fell apart. And I tried to go 4 or 5 different directions, and it just, nothing would come together. I was getting a little bit frustrated with it. And Friday evening, we as a family sat down and watched the Sight and Sound presentation on the story of Noah. And something about that, it just hit me, and it just all fell together from that. What I was trying to get my thoughts together, that was the example that I was looking for the whole time. And so I was able to go with pretty much the original theme that God had laid on my mind several weeks ago. So I want to look at the story of Noah, probably in a little different light than what we often look at Noah, the happenings of that day, the ark, the deliverance, all that. I'm going to jump around a little bit, but I want to read, starting out in Genesis chapter 7, verse 17. And my hope is that I can do this in a way that clearly comes out in a way that you can be encouraged. My heart has been heavy with the trials that some of you are going through, have been going through. And I hope that this can be an encouragement where we can look at how God has brought us through tough times in the past so that our faith can be increased in His ability to bring us through both now and in the future. I've been struggling with my emotions already, so hopefully I can pull myself together and we can get through this. But let's read chapter 7 of Genesis, starting at verse 17. And I'll let you know where we're skipping around and so you can follow along. It says, "For 40 days the flood kept coming on the earth, and the waters increased. As the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 20 feet. Every living thing that moved on the earth perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out, men and animals and the creatures that move along the ground and the birds of the air were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth. And the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The water receded steadily from the earth, At the end of the 150 days, the water had gone down. And on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month. And on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible. Now let's skip on down to verse 13. By the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. Then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so that they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number upon it." So Noah came out, together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, all the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on the earth came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures, as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." Let's go to chapter 9, verse 8, and I'll read through verse 17. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is a sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth." I don't know what you think of when you look at the story of Noah. Oftentimes I know we look at how God judged the sin of the earth, but yet chose to deliver Noah. And I guess I had to think of things in a little different light. We don't get a lot of details of how the process went for Noah and his family when they were actually building the ark. The Bible doesn't go into great detail. So some of that we have to kind of look at the time, the state of people, their mindset back then, and somewhat fill in the blanks. And I had to think of just the general mindset back then. People were very wicked. They didn't care about God being pleased with them. They were not obedient. They didn't choose to follow God. They didn't really care to do what he wanted them to do. But Noah and his family were found righteous in the sight of God. And they worked many hard, long years to build this great big boat. I'm sure it seemed silly to the people around them. Why do you need a boat when it's never rained? You say this is going to happen, yet it's never happened before. You're crazy. You're off your rocker. I'm pretty sure they probably faced opposition. They faced some ridicule. But they did what God commanded. And it doesn't really say anywhere in the Bible that God, or that Noah questioned God. It says he obeyed, and he did what God commanded him to do. I know that must have been a tough thing. Noah was very righteous, but he was also a human. So I'm sure that there were times where it seemed big and it seemed overwhelming, but he did it. He pushed through it. They probably also struggled with the fact that so many people that they knew were going to be lost. It could have been, most likely would have been family members, friends, people they were close to that were going to perish. So all this, it would have been a great struggle, a great trial to go through and not lose faith. But because of their belief in God, they were delivered. All these hard times passed, and the time came where the rain started. I guess I should have thought of this morning before now. I look outside and the rain's starting. So I guess we have faith that we're not going to need to get an ark today. But these were different rains. This rain never stopped for 40 days and 40 nights. And that water rose and rose and rose some more. Everything and everybody outside of the ark perished. It was destroyed. It was totally consumed by the water. But Noah and his family and all the animals that were inside were kept totally safe. They were spared the destruction due to their faith and obedience in God. In the process, though, they had to go through some things that I'm sure tested their faith. And while God protected them, he provided a safe place for them to ride out this storm, they still felt the effects. They would have to believe that God did not desert them and that they would someday see the light of the sun again. And that took faith. Who all knows how long of a period of time they were actually on the ark? I did not realize till I studied this. Ray? It was over a year. It's a long time to be on a boat filled with a lot of animals. And I'm sure as big as that boat was, there were times it wasn't big enough. Just put yourself in their shoes. You know, how tired of it would you get? How long would we last? I don't know. A year would have been a long time, in my opinion. I don't know exactly how conditions were on there, but I don't think I would have made it through there without doing a little complaining, most likely. Asking God, really, do you know what you're doing? I can only imagine after they were able to get off, the elation that they had to set foot on dry ground, to see the sun, to see the sky, how great that must have been. But it would have been easy to feel like God had abandoned them while they were on that ark. Yes, he protected them, but now are we going to have to ride on this ark and be rocked around by the floodwaters outside for the rest of time? Is there an end to this? God, did you bring me in this storm to leave me here? Did you strand me? Where are you at? You know, these are just questions that in our humanity, we can't see the end. We can't see how everything's going to work out. So it's a struggle. We have to rely on God, and it takes faith. But we can see through this account that God never abandoned them. He never left them alone. He was right there the whole time. He was protecting them, and he was holding them. They were safe. And I guess that's where my mind went. I'd like to picture God as our ark. He does not always remove us from the storm. But He does always provide a safe place for us to ride the storm out. Yes, we might still feel the effects. We might still hear the thunder. We might hear the wind. We might feel the waves rocking the boat, so to speak. But we're safe and we're secure because our Father is holding us. Where else would we rather be? And we serve the same God today that protected Noah, that delivered him, that delivered his family, that saw fit to deliver all the animals because of Noah's righteousness. And He wants to deliver us too. Just because we're in God's care does not mean that the storms aren't going to happen around us. There's times where it gets dark. There's times where it gets scary, where we feel alone, where the future feels uncertain, where it gets overwhelming. But God's covering of love and protection surrounds us, and we never face it alone. This can give us strength. It can give us courage. It can give us protection for every battle that we're going to face. One thing I found, a statement that I really liked, is the storms never have full reign. We are held securely by an almighty God. We have to cling to that promise. We have a hope that is sure. Yet we live in a fallen and an imperfect world. It seems that right now, especially almost every day, you can look around and it feels like people are straying farther and farther away from God. There's so much chaos and uncertainty everywhere you turn. People look at a politician or a world leader and they look to them as their hope and their direction. And what a letdown. They're not capable of steering us through life storms, of providing the safety and the peace and the comfort that we're looking for. And if you think they are, then you're going to have a rude awakening at some point, because they're just humans. But our Heavenly Father, on the other hand, is deserving of our trust. He wants us to place ourselves, our families, our futures, our everything in His hands. He wants to take us through. After we give Him control, He wants to protect us and take us through these storms in life. I had been reflecting lately, I guess, on the last year or so. And I think every one of us would say that it's been a challenge. There's been a lot of things thrown our way that we would have never expected. There's things that, for our family, I guess, it seems like there's been a lot of trials. There's been some tough times. There's been a lot of tears cried and a lot of prayers asking, why, God? You know, how can God allow something that causes so much hurt and so much pain to happen? But through it all, even though there was no quick removal of the trials, I could see that there's a steady and sometimes slow progression toward the fact of realizing that God did not abandon us. He was holding us. He never gave us more than we could handle. He was with us the whole time. And He steered us through those stormy times in life. In the trials where we didn't know how we're going to get through it at times. He steered us through that just like he did for Noah and his family. And God, in his promise to protect us, doesn't always do it in the way that we would like or the way that we would picture it being. I think sometimes we as people think we should be placed in this little bubble where we're totally protected, where we don't have to encounter unpleasant things in life, where bad things don't happen to us, where pain and suffering is out there. But God doesn't always choose to prevent things from happening. Sometimes his protection, it might be in blessing us with strength, with grace, with mercy, with peace in the midst of a hard trial that we find ourselves in. Either way, God is sovereign and he is still good. And I had to think of, my mind went in this direction mainly in regards to those of you who are dealing with big storms in life. But I also thought, everybody deals with storms. Some people, the storms are violent, they're big. And we can look at them and we can easily say it's a big storm. But don't think that your storm isn't important too. God cares about the little storms that you face. The storms you might be facing might be looking at life, adjusting to not having a spouse, to your mother being gone, your grandmother. Maybe it's looking at trying to hold a family and a business together while you take care of a daughter that needs a lot of extra care. Those are big storms. But maybe your storm is simply the future isn't very clear. It's scary. You have decisions to make. Maybe it's family members that aren't where you want them to be. I don't know. But God does. Take your storms to him. He is holding you. Have faith in him. When life looks scary or uncertain, don't lose sight of our Almighty God. He is sovereign. He is in control. He loves you. And he is holding you. You just never know what rainbow might be at the end of the storm. Think of that rainbow that God placed in the sky for Noah. Yes, it was a commitment not to destroy the earth. But I think we can look at those rainbows in our lives as a commitment of God's faithfulness. God doesn't change. He cared for Noah, he cared for his family, and he cares for us. And I just want to remind each one of us of that this morning. Because I think sometimes it's easy to get overwhelmed when the waves get big, when the storm clouds appear. And I feel especially like today, in the world that we live in, we have to go to God for our comfort, for our refuge. I'm going to read some verses that I looked up that deal with God's protection. I'm going to go through them fairly quickly, but you can write down the references and look them up as well. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And Psalms 34:7-9. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Psalms 91:1-2. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Psalms 121:1-2. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. And the last one I have is Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of troubles. He cares for those who trust in him. I hope you can see the picture of God always being there for us. He is our rock. He is our anchor. And he is holding us. Even when times are tough, let's lean on him and let's cry to him for our help. Reuben, do you have a closing song? 160? Okay. 160 in the Christian Hymnary. If you can find that, stand. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the reminder of how you love us, God, how you care so much for us, how you want to protect us, even when tough times come into our lives. God, help us to rely on you, to place our trust in you, just to give you control, and then just to rest in that. I pray that you would encourage each one today. May you help us in our walk with you to grow closer. In Jesus' name, amen.